Welcome to Salvation by Grace, a broadcast ministry of Grace Christian Assembly, a Sovereign Grace Fellowship in Smyrna, Tennessee. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at www.salvationbygrace.org. Now let's join our teacher, Jim McLarty.
Like Jeremiah, I am also 21. So we have to tell the internet folk what's going on this morning. There has been chicanery afoot. Chicanery. A month ago, more or less, young Len walked up to me and said, "Isn't your birthday on a Sunday?" And I said, "Why, yes, it is. I believe that's true." And Len, who typically says, "I don't really want to preach, but, you know, give me some warning. I need at least a month's warning before I preach. So if I get sick and have to call on Len, I have to get sick a month ahead of time so that he can know in advance that I..." So Len comes up to me and says, "I'd like to preach for you on your birthday so that you can have that day off. So don't worry about preparing anything on your birthday because I'm going to preach for you." Well, that should have been my first clue, because Len is never quite that forthcoming. But he was like, "Yes, I'll fill right in for you." So, you know, there's been like little whispering campaigns in the corners and stuff. And I thought, okay, they're going to do something for my birthday. Okay, fine, fair enough. And then we were rehearsing with the musicians this morning, and in walked Barney Johnson. Much to my pleasure and delight. And his guest, and you're going to have to remind me of your name. Broderick McDaniels. You are a preacher also, yes? That's what I believed was right. And where are you preaching at?
Out in Union Chapel in Huntsville, Alabama.
Union Chapel, okay.
He came out of Elder Lewis's church in
Killeen. Oh, okay, from Elder Lewis, okay. We met just briefly up at the conference and said hello. And now, so I saw Barney and Elder Daniels walk in. I thought, oh, I know what's up. My little elves have gotten busy and have made phone calls and have arranged for Barney to come preach so that, you know, Len would be off the hook. And they knew that I would approve of Barney Johnson. They know that I'm protective about who I would let stand up here and preach. But we've had Barney here so often, and sometimes I think the congregation loves Barney more than me anyway. So I thought, well, that's good. Barney's here. That's going to be great. Barney's here. And I'm hugging Barney, and I said, "So did you come to preach?" And he said, "No." I said, "Yeah, you did. You came to preach, right?" "No." I said, "Well, you've got your Bible with you. Will you at least do some scripture and prayer?" Thinking, well, I guess maybe Len's going to preach. Then, exactly, my estimation of you rose dramatically. Because I thought, Len knows that Barney's going to be here to preach, and he's going to preach anyway? Wow, Len, you the man. I mean, I was very impressed. And then I went back to my musical duties, and I looked up, and I think I saw Megan first come through the door and poke her little head around the door, and I went, "Wait, that's a Cleveland child right there. That child doesn't belong in Smyrna." Then I saw Stephanie Tillman walk in, all beautiful and smiles. In she walks. And I thought, there's no way those two girls are here without Marlon behind them. So for all you folks on the internet, Marlon Tillman joined us this morning from Cleveland, Ohio. And of course, in March, Marlon stood here and preached for us. And people loved that message that Marlon brought us. And CD copies went out everywhere. And folks were sending them around. We put it up on the internet. We got great email response to it. So for my birthday, I get to hear Marlon Tillman preach this morning. So I'm very excited. Not to take anything from you, Len.
Just believe in Marlon. was like, I'm on the hook.
But between Elder Daniels and Marlon Tillman and Barney Johnson, we've got preachers in the house this morning. So I can just sit down. So I have leaned on Barney to do our scripture reading and prayer. After he does, we'll sing one more song. And after that, Marlon will come and preach to us. And I can't wait. Especially because, see, you all knew, didn't you? How many of you knew? Raise your hands. Oh, I'm mad at every one of you. Chicanery. Exactly. Well, it was a very, very good birthday surprise. And I understand we're all going to lunch afterwards. So plan to come and eat with us if you possibly can. I asked Marlon if he was going to stick around the rest of the day. They're leaving tomorrow so that I get to visit with my friend the rest of the day. And he said, yes, as long as there's football involved. And that's why I like Marlon. So we're going to go eat after church, which means the Titans are just going to have to win without me today.
There's a TV at the restaurant, by the way.
There's a TV at the... Don't tell me that. So, Barney, why don't you come with our scripture reading and prayer, whatever comments you'd like to make. We're just going to stay here till we're done.
That's right.
So take your time. Marlon, take your time.
We need to be at the restaurant at 1, so that gives us plenty of time.
That gives them plenty of time. So I'm going to ask you to strap the leash onto you here. You have to, yes. That way the internet folks can hear everything that takes place here. And then, Marlon, you'll need to wear this when you preach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good. You know, it's always good to come this way. And I was thrilled to be invited just to come. If I've been threatening Pastor Jim that we just need to come together anyway and just watch football, go to a movie, anything like that. And it's his birthday. I figured it was a good time. I told Carol that when she asked me in Lexington, I said, yeah, I try to come up with some kind of novelty song for try to write something to help Pastor Jim celebrate his birthday. And all I could come up with was a hook, you all. I couldn't get the words. So I'm going to sing the hook before I read scripture and prayer. But this is the thought in mind. Your pastor and I, we have a lot in common, okay? He's a rocker. I'm a rocker. He's a drummer. I'm a keyboard player. We've been on stage, thousands girls hollering at us, you know. Yeah. Well, a few fellows, but you know, yeah, you know, but we've both done that. We both born the same year.
Wow.
Born a month apart, a month in what? I was born August 15th, and the same year. And we both now have a love for the gospel of Jesus Christ and his people, and we both been called to preach. So I was thinking about that and all that we have in common, and all I could think of was this hook. And I'm going to play that hook for you right now. This is all I could think of.
53 just looks better on me.
That's all I can think of. You know, all we have in common. Uh-oh.
Yes, it do. It looks better on you.
Amen. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all I could think of. I couldn't get the words, other words come. I want to read two passages for you. It's what I think about when I come to these occasions like this where we honor the man of God, so to speak. The first one is in, it's in Revelations. Let me see, where do I want to start here? Oh, let's start. Revelations 2, and read verse 16, and skip over to verse 20. and then I'll go back and read something else. Revelation 2 and 16. And my version might read a little different from yours. It's a New English translation, I think it is. It says, in his right hand he held seven stars. From the mouth came out a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like a shining in full strength. And then over in verse 20, John writes, as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstick, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And then back over in Matthew, just these few little words, in the Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when I come to occasions like this, I think about how God has blessed you with a marvelous star. And his desire is to always point you to Christ. It's not about him. It's about pointing you to Christ, which is what a star does. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you today, Lord, for blessing Pastor Jim to be in our lives, Lord. We thank you for bringing him into this world, for you saving him and calling him to preach your gospel, Lord, and making him a good under-shepherd over your people here in Smyrna. Father, we pray you bless his life, bless his family, bless his ministry, Lord. Continue to grow it and grow us all, Lord, in your grace and love for your word and Christ. We thank you today for allowing us all to be here. We thank you especially for allowing the Tillman family to make it all the way from Cleveland, Lord, and to come all this way to help celebrate a dear brother's birthday, Lord. And we pray right now your blessings on him as he comes and preach your holy word, Lord, that we will leave here edified, your name will be glorified, Lord, and if there are any unsaved in the house, that you will save them, that you will break their heart through the preaching of the gospel. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And, Lord, we know it's not like we should. We know that, Lord. We know it's not like we should love you, but we do love you, and we do look forward to the day when we love you with a perfect love, and we praise you with a perfect praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do honor the Lord Jesus Christ today, who is the great head of our Christian church. To him be all glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. He is so worthy. Amen. To Elder McLarty, dear friend, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You've just thank you. I don't want to get into a long list of things that I could say thank you to you for, but just thank you for being a friend and someone who will listen and just be there for me, and I really do appreciate that. Elder Johnson, Elder McDaniel, it's a pleasure being here with you too. When the members of GCA asked would I be willing to come, any opportunity to come to GCA, of course, but when they also said that Elder Johnson was going to be here, I thought, oh, this is going to be really good. This is going to be really good. I can come and sit down in the front row, and I can listen to Elder Johnson sing, and then he's going to get up and he's going to preach. This is going to be great, man. This is going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And, well, they kind of changed that on me, but I'm glad you guys are here. I really am. It's really a blessing to be here with you all, with GCA. I think I said this in March. I felt like I've been here so many times before. I mean, I listen every Sunday, or I listen during the week, or you know, I go over the tapes from years ago. This place does just feel like home. It just really feels good here. I'm obviously nervous. Anytime you stand before God's people, I'm nervous, but there's just so much warmth in here. You know, and so you can go to churches and they have their doctrine down, but it's so cold. Here is so warm. I know they're being taught the truth, and yet it is so warm in here. And I'm just really, really grateful to God to be here. This time, unlike March, I was able to bring my better half and my two little girls with me. Gabrielle is my little one here. You want to stand up, Gabby? That's Gabby. Gabrielle is 7, and here's my oldest one. Her name is Megan. Yeah. And Megan is 10. Meg, you want to stand up, please? Too. And my beautiful wife, Stephanie, she came. I want her to stand because I want you guys to see how gracious God can be. That stand up. How could anybody like me find a wife like that? God is truly gracious. He really is. To everyone here, just again, thank you for having me. This is really humbling, Elder. It really is. I know you have friends all across this country, people you're really, really close to, and for your members to ask me, it's just really humbling, man. It really is. And I just say thank you again. I really do. Thank you for the hospitality on yesterday. Man, oh man, I got to tell you this. Yesterday, we were told before we came to decide where it is we wanted to go eat last night. And, you know, we picked one of the national food chains, you know, like Ruby Tuesdays or Oh Charlie's or something. And the patent said, well, wait a minute, there's a place here called the Omni Hut. And it's really good and it's really different. It's unlike anything you've ever had. And it has a Hawaiian feel to it. And I thought, well, you know, what's the chances of me ever getting to Hawaii? So, you know, we better take advantage of it. And we went, and the Pattons were so kind to us last night. They just threw so much food at us. It was amazing. And I wasn't able to eat it all. And after we left the restaurant, I was just thinking, I hope I wasn't disrespectful. It was just so much food. It was all delicious. And then one thing I had while I was there, I had a bacon-wrapped pineapple. And after I ate the bacon-wrapped pineapple, I thought to myself, okay, Lord, you can come back now. It doesn't get much better. I don't know how it could get any better than this. But thank you so much, Pattons. That was great. It was delicious. I thank you so much. Yeah, bacon-wrapped pineapple. Who would have thought? You know, who would have thought it? But although we're here to honor Elder McLarty on his birthday, we really are here to worship our King.
That's right.
We're here to worship our King. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. That'll be our text this morning. I'd ask that you follow along silently as I read aloud. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let us pray. Precious Father in heaven, great God, our heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and friendship. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, the worship of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've allowed all of us to come out to your house for that very purpose, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this place. Bless this time that we spend together. Hide me in the gospel of your dear son. And I pray, Lord, as these words go forth, that your people would not hear me, but they would hear from you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who was dead but is now alive forevermore and seated at your right hand making intercessions for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Words that will comfort. If I had to put a title or a thought, I would give it that: words that will comfort. Well, one of the things that we as human beings struggle with it's what to say in certain situations. When we find ourselves in a tough spot or in an area where the pressure of life is coming down upon us, sometimes words, they just escape us. Think about those times when a loved one or a close friend has come to you with some unpleasant news or the news of a loved one who has passed away. We really want to say the right words, but most of the time, we just don't know what to say. When someone is hurting, when someone is looking at a hard road ahead of them, what do you say to them? Can you give words of encouragement or comfort in the darkest hours of our lives? Well, that is exactly what the author of Hebrews is doing in this epistle. When you're facing the kind of persecution that these first century Hebrew Christians are facing, you don't need a word from mere men. You need a word from God himself. Mm-hmm. What do you say when people are facing the mouth of a hungry lion? What do you say to people who are going to have flammable materials poured all over their body and lit on fire because they named the name of Jesus Christ? At that point in time, you probably don't need to give them a lecture and tell them that God has a wonderful plan for their life. The words of your life coach telling you to just think happy thoughts probably won't help them.
No.
See, what you need at a time like this is a word from God himself.
Amen.
See, this is precisely what the author of Hebrews is doing. He knows that these people are facing unbelievable persecution and torture and death. And what they need to know at that particular moment is that God is there. God knows and God sees. Well, as he introduces this letter in these first three chapters, he's going to give them words that I believe are the source of unbelievable comfort. He tells them that, one, God has spoken. He has spoken through his son. And then he explains to them what it is his son has done. And I believe these words here are meant to give us hope and encouragement and assurance in our time of need. Look at what the author begins with. He says, God. who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. If ever you find yourself in a situation where you don't know where to turn, if ever you find yourself in a situation where you don't know which way to go, think upon these things. God has spoken. See, in our day and age, this kind of statement will get you in a lot of trouble. See, in our pluralistic society where everyone's opinion is valid and everyone's view must be respected and valued, you can make a lot of people mad with a statement like, God has spoken. To quote our dear beloved Elder Ward, Elder Ward always reminded us that we are in a battle for truth.
Right.
See, what most people want to say is that there's no such thing as absolute truth. You just go with whatever you feel is right, or you do whatever you feel is best for you. And if that makes you happy and if that's working for you, then you just go right ahead and believe that and think that. But the author here says that God has spoken. See, when God has spoken, that other line of thinking must go away. Mm-hmm. When God has spoken, we can't just make it up as we go along. When God has spoken, that settles the whole matter.
Right.
Amen.
The sovereign of the universe has spoken. And if this is true, if this is true that God has spoken, then there is a truth, and you as a human being is responsible to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And not just know the truth, but you must be transformed by this truth. Mm-hmm. Since God has spoken, there is now a measuring stick.
Right.
Or as to quote my dear friend here, there is a straight stick. Where we can measure all crooked sticks up against. When God has spoken, we have a measuring stick. And when we have a measuring stick, we can put up anything that anyone else says, any line of thinking, any line of teaching up against that measuring stick. And look at what this author says. He says, not only has God spoken, but he's been speaking for a long time. Mm-hmm. He just didn't show up yesterday with these words. He has been speaking for a long time. Yeah. He's actually been speaking since time began. There's a history that we can have with God. We can look back and say what he has spoken these things in times past, and he's speaking these very things now. The author tells these Hebrew Christians to just look at your scripture. God has always been talking to us. He's also always been giving us a word of encouragement. He's always been giving us a word to comfort us in our time of need. And not just through one prophet. He's talked to us through many different prophets. God kept giving us more and more of a revelation of himself. As time went on, we can learn more and more about who God is and his plan. See, really, when you think about it, this is really just a gracious act on God's part. See, God was under no obligation to reveal himself to anyone. He was God long before he created anything. He'll be God long after all things have passed away. But the mere fact that he chose to reveal himself to wicked human beings such as ourselves is really just a gracious act on his part. He was under no obligation. He didn't have to do any of the things that he said, but he decided to reveal himself to us. And if that, brothers and sisters, doesn't give you any measure of comfort, I wonder. Because to know that God will speak to you, the God of the universe chose to reveal himself to you. And don't take it for granted that God is speaking here. See, when God wanted to make a mockery of all the other gods in the Old Testament, all the other gods that people were worshiping, the one thing that he said about himself that made him different, he said, is that these other gods don't speak. Mm-hmm. Listen to God in Psalm 115. Listen to what he says. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. It says, wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? And we reply, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And it says, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. See, the very first thing that God says, when I want to put a difference between those gods and me, the true God, he said, they have mouths, but they don't even speak. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 10 brings this up as well. If turn to Jeremiah 10. I'm sure this is one of Elder's favorite passages of scripture. I know we're coming up close to the holiday season. I've heard him talk about this before, so. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 10. Hear ye the word, beginning at verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you. That right there sets God apart. Hear the word that the Lord speaketh unto you. And if you drop down actually, let's just continue. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of a workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails with hammers, and it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. And if you go over to verse 10, he continues to talk about these false gods. But then he says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting king, and his wrath. And at his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. So when God wanted to make mockery, the first thing he said about those other gods is they don't speak. But here the writer of Hebrews says, our God has spoken. And notice, God didn't just speak, but he spoke to their fathers. And this word that was spoken to their fathers was able to carry the fathers through. And if he is the same God, then it still must be a word that will carry us through. Our God has spoken. He's spoken through his prophets, and he's spoken by the prophets unto the fathers. But if you think that's good news, the author says, not only has God spoken and that he used to speak through the prophets, he says, but now he speaks to us through his son. Mm-hmm. See, now we have the full revelation of who God is. And it has been given to us through the son. See, the son is the one who was with the Father from all eternity. Yes, the prophet spoke for God, but the Son knows the Father in a way that no earthly prophet could ever know him. Luke 10:22 reads like this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. This is Christ speaking. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. We have been given an unbelievable gift, brothers and sisters. We have been given the full revelation of who God is through the Son. The Son, the one from all eternity. Well, if the Son was there and he's the one now speaking, if he's the one now giving us the full revelation, then we ought to listen to what it is he has to say. He's going to give us an insight into God the Father that we did not and could not get from the prophets. As important as the prophets were, they were pointing to one. They were pointing to the prophet who was going to come, who was going to speak fully for God. That one, the Son. And the thing I love about the writers of the New Testament is that they anticipate one asking questions. The author anticipates one maybe asking the question, well, why is the Son so important? Why should we listen to him in respect to God speaking? Why is he so important? Well, look at who the Son is. The author gives us no room to wonder about who the Son is. The Son is the one who God has appointed heir of all things. Let me say that one more time. The Son, the Son is the one whom God hath appointed heir of all things. You didn't make him who he is. You didn't make him Lord and Savior. God has appointed him heir of all things. The Son is the possessor of all things. Listen to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, beginning at 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God has appointed him heir of all things. Who else is the Son? He is the one by whom also the worlds were made. He is the creator. He is the one who has made all things. Why should I listen to the Son? Why is it so important? God has set him as heir of all things, and also he is the creator of all things. Paul picks this up in Colossians chapter 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is the Son. That is the one we're to worship. That is the one we're to glorify. That is the one we are to listen to. He is the Son. But the writer doesn't stop there. He said, he is the one being who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Christ is the exact image of God the Father. Our Lord said it best when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He can speak directly for the Father because he is the exact brightness of his glory. He was there with the Father from all of eternity. He has the express image of God the Father. He is the express image of him. The imagery that the writer here is giving is when Caesar sent out a document and he wanted people to know that it was from him, he would take his ring. He'd take his ring and he'd put it in hot wax and he'd take his ring with his symbol on it and he'd stick it down, he'd stamp it down onto that document. And when you got it, you could tell that's from Caesar himself. That's from the emperor. And that's the picture that he's given. Christ is the exact correspondence, the exact image of God the Father. When you've seen him, you've seen the Father. That's who the Son is. That's why we ought to listen to him. And also, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. That's the Son. That's why his words are so important to us. It is by his very word that all things are being held together. Now, I'm not smart enough to be able to tell you what that means. I can't even wrap my mind really around that concept. All I know is that everything, if you want to break it down to every single molecule in the universe that is known to man and even things that aren't known, he's upholding it by his power. That's the Son. Why should we listen to him? Because he's the Son. This was so beautifully pictured at the Mount of Transfiguration. Beautifully pictured at the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John are up there with Christ, and all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are standing there with Christ, and Peter being Peter. Peter being Peter. I love Peter because he speaks really for all of us most of the time. It was great that we have been. Let us build three tabernacles. One representing the law and Moses, one representing the prophets and Elijah, and one for Christ. And the Bible declares that there's a voice from heaven who doesn't really rebuke Peter, but he wants Peter to get it proper. There was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." As great as Moses was, even Moses talked about there's going to be a prophet like unto Moses who's going to come. Hear him. As great as Elijah was for the people, he spoke for God. There was one coming. And at that very moment, it all comes together. And God says, no, 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 don't. As great as Moses was and as great as Elijah, I used them. They were tools in my hands, but they were just men. That this one, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Our God has spoken to us through the Son. Well, what is it so great about this Son? The Bible has declared who he is. We understand from the author of Hebrews here who he is, but he just doesn't leave it there either. He tells us what he's done. We have divine performance here. Look at what the Son has done. Look, first of all, we see who he is. And as mind-blowing as that is, look at what the Son has done. It says, when he had by himself. That's a shout right there. When he by himself had purged our sins. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, it's great to know who he is, but when we really, what we really worship him for is, yes, who he is, but also what it is he's done. The one who had created all things, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the one who is the perfect representation of the Father, the one who is the Son, has done a work that only he could do. Mm-hmm. He is able to purge our sins. He is able to take away our sins. He is the one who can fulfill all the righteous requirements that are required by the Father. Bulls and goats can never take away sin. Bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Me working as hard as I possibly can to do right can never take away sin. I don't care how much I give. I don't care how many hungry people I feed on the street. I don't care how many premarital counseling sessions I have. I can never take away sin. I don't care how much you work. It can never take away sin. That's why the writer says when he had by himself purged our sin, he has taken away our sin. See, sin had caused a real separation between us and God. There was a huge gulf between us and God because of our sin. God would not cross it to get to us, and we could not cross it to get to him. But this same God who would not cross it to get to us because of our sin has provided a way himself to bridge that gulf without compromising his own character. And how does he do it? He does it by the Son. Listen to what I'm maybe pronouncing his name wrong. Anselm. He was the Archbishop of England back in 1093. Listen to what he wrote about God providing what it is that man needed. He says, what can be done? And this is from his book entitled, Why Did God Become Man? He says, what can be done? Obviously, God must save us. We cannot achieve salvation for ourselves because we are the ones who have gotten into the trouble in the first place. Mm-hmm. We have done so by our rebellion against God's decrees. Moreover, we have suffered from the effects of sin to such a degree that even our will is bound. Therefore, we cannot even want to please God, let alone actually please him. It's a salvation must be achieved. Listen to this, because it almost sounds like he says salvation must be achieved by man, for man is the one who has wronged God and who therefore must make the wrong right. Given this situation, salvation can only be achieved by one who is both God and man. That is by Christ Jesus. See, that's why we need to worship the Son. He is the only one who could do for us what it is we needed. We needed God to do for us what we couldn't do, but we also needed man because we were the ones who had done wrong. And God solved that very dilemma in the God-man, the Son, Jesus Christ. And his work was so perfect. His work was so perfect is the only word I can come up with. What else can you say other than perfect? Well, it was so perfect. I have to ask the question, what more can be done? Is there any more that we can add to it? Is there anything that we should add to his perfect work? Well, you don't have to answer the question because the writer of Hebrews here has already answered. He said when he had purged our sins, the Bible declares he sat down. The work is now finished. There's no more that needs to be added to it. It is a perfect work. He sat down. And this is a beautiful picture of the tabernacle and the temple of old. And you know, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a lot of furniture. Mm-hmm. There was candlesticks and there was a brazen altar. And then there was a table for the showbread. But the one piece of furniture you would not find in the temple or the tabernacle was a chair. Mm-hmm. Because the work of the earthly priest was never really finished. He had to come and he had to do it over and over, day after day, month after month, year after year. His work was never finished. That's why when he died, they just put another priest in his place and then he did the work over and over and over. But when this priest had done his work, the Bible declares he sat down. And not only did he sit down, but he sat down on the majesty on high. He sat down in his rightful position. No earthly priest could ever sit down on the majesty on high. Well, first of all, when earthly priests went in to do their work, first of all, they had to give an offering for their own sin before they could give an offering for the sins of the people. So no earthly priest could ever sit down. But it says that our God, the Son, the exact representation of the Father, when he finished his work, he sat down. By him sitting down, it means that the work was fully accepted by the Father. These are the words, brothers and sisters, that we ought to give one another to comfort one another. I don't care what you're facing in life. When you know that the Son has purged your sin, when you know he's seated at the right hand now making intercessions for you, you can face anything in life. There's nothing that this life can throw you. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that sometimes the things, or the situations we find ourselves in will rattle our cage a little bit. And when we don't know which way to turn, sometimes we get a little antsy and we don't really know. But what we ought to do is we ought to turn to the fact that our God has spoken. Mm-hmm. And these are the words that he has spoken. He's spoken unto us by his Son. And his Son has done a work that can only be considered gracious and glorious. He's purged our sin. He's taken the thing that kept us separated from God. He's taken it away, and now we can have full fellowship with God the Father. I tell you, our God is a marvelous God. He's a gracious God. You ought to praise him for that. You ought to worship his name for what it is he's done. I can find comfort. I pray that you can find comfort, even in the midst of your storm, knowing that God has spoken. He's spoken it through his Son, and his Son has done a marvelous work. I tell you, you ought to love him more when you think about who he is and what he's done. Your life has to be transformed when you know who he is and what he's done for you. He's a great God. And as I was laying in the bed this morning, I began to think about these words and how powerful and how wonderful when the people of the first century, when they read these words, how they must have just, the joy of the Lord must have come over them. And it came to me, and as I prepared this, I hadn't thought about this until this morning. In these three verses, we see Christ fulfilling the three offices of the Old Testament. We see him as prophet, he's seen as a priest here, and he's also seen as our king. God has fulfilled all things in Christ. He's worthy of our praise, guys. He's the Son. He's the prophet. He's the one who now speaks for God. He's our priest. He's taken away our sin, and he's seated at his rightful place next to our Father as king. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Yes. I bless his name today. Let us worship him as he is. He is our God and he is our Savior.
Amen.
Glory to his name. Amen.
Amen.
I guess your time off is over. Back to work.
Thank you for being here.
I love you, Elder. God bless you. I love you.
I'm not done.
Yeah, that's all right. Me either. Me either. It's a pleasure.
You heard the gospel this morning.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Man came all the way from Cleveland so that he could tell you one more time about the God we serve. And aren't you glad for it?
Yes.
Oh, you can do better than that. That was the least enthusiastic applause I've ever. We're just really, really fortunate, really, really blessed people.
Because
we all got a birthday present today, didn't we? Because it was Jeremiah's birthday. Elder McDaniels, I owe you an apology. I think I called you Elder Daniels earlier. I didn't get the Mick part, and you would think that a Mick Clardy would hear the Mick go by when he heard it. Elder McDaniels. Well, that was just good. Just good. I'm really glad we were all able to be here this morning. I'm so pleased. I've watched Marlon grow. When I first met Marlon, he was young student. And now he's a strong preacher. And as Barney continues to get progressively old, you'll always be a month older than me. I take great comfort in that. I call Barney sometimes and I say, how am I going to feel in a month? But as Barney and I, little by little, become the old guard, it's good to know that the gospel is in the hands of the young guard. And he's not afraid. He's nervous, but he's not afraid. At his age, he's willing to stand up in front of people and say, God is sovereign. God is on his throne. Christ decides. Preaching the gospel the way the Bible says it. What a wonderful thing. Because there aren't that many young men willing to take that risk. Get that far out on that tight wire where men won't help you. And you got to trust God to hold you up. I'm just proud of him. Oh, there I go. That's what happens when you get 53. You become more tender. I used to be a hard man, difficult man to be around. Oh, I was the classic angry young man. Now I'm the classic weepy old man.
Yeah.
Are we going to waste them?
Yeah.
I would love at this moment, you're about that far ahead of me, I would love at this moment to open the floor to Elder McDaniels. Of course, you heard from Barney and you already know he's just ornery. But would you care to come and share a word with us? I would love to have you stand up here and share with our congregation.
Yes.
Come on, Elder McDaniels.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit who's in all of us. It's a pleasure to be here, and I thank Elder Johnson for being a friend. And, you know, through people, you meet other people. And, you know, we're two preachers down in Alabama with common views of the gospel. And to hear Elder Timman this morning was a great joy to hear the gospel preached in the context of the Bible, the way it should be preached.
There you go.
And I'm just enthused to be here to celebrate with you on today.
No,
and I did not refuse Elder Johnson when he asked me to accommodate him up here today, and it's just a joy. And the gospel is the gospel, and that's what we talked about all the way up here. When God is in you, that's all we can talk about. It's God. When He's in you, it's just like Elder Timmer was talking about sports. You know, when it's in you, you want to watch it. You want to enjoy. You know, the football or whatever sport you're into. And I'm off into the gospel, and that's what I like to talk about, the gospel. I talk it in my sleep. I talk it on my job. I talk it in the grocery store. I talk it on the street corner. And that's what Elder Johnson and I, we talked about the gospel all the way from Huntsville, Alabama, here to Tennessee. And it's just a joy to be here. And I just thank God for being in your midst on today. And just keep on living the gospel.
There you go.
Nothing more important than that. And I have a passion. I was telling Elder Johnson on the way up, I have a passion for evangelism. In street ministry and going into the hedges and the highways into the institutions where people are locked away and has not the freedom that we have to share the gospel. And that's just my passion to do that and just to go out into these highways and just preach Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way we all going to make it.
That's right.
And we can't save ourselves. No. We're His people, the sheep of His pastor. You know, and he works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure.
There you go.
And that's what the sovereignty of God is all about, and that He has a people for His praise and for His glory. And I just thank God for being one of His,
that's right.
A sheep of His pastor. And just God bless you all, and thank you for having us and your hospitality and your warm smiles and friendship. It's just a wonder, and I just thank God for seeing you again. And I'm not a stranger, you know, in the midst of God's people.
There you go.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
It's just great for little GCA here tucked away in a suburb of Nashville. I know that I tell you all the time, I'm fortunate enough to get the email. So I know of the folks who are out there that are part of our extended family and the folks who are listening over the internet, and it's just good for us as a little church to have it reaffirmed to us that there are plenty of folk out there that believe what we believe, teach what we believe, proclaim the same gospel, people who are standing up for the cause of the grace of God and His absolute sovereignty. It's good to know that we have this wide extended family out there. Now, I'm going to make one more request of Elder Johnson and Elder McDaniels and Elder Tillman, which is when we're finished here, when we're done praying, I'd like you three men to be standing back there so that everybody here gets a chance to shake your hand, hug your neck, whatever they feel is appropriate. We have some mean huggers in this group. So, because it's tough for folks to make their way through the crowd to get up here and say hi to you. So go out in the foyer there and give them an opportunity to say hi to you. Now, Robin, where are we going for lunch?
If you're familiar with the Big Lots Kmart Shopping Center here in Smyrna, right on Lowry Street.
Okay. Everybody pretty much got that down? It's good?
Good.
You've eaten there. It is good, good, good.
We have good.
GEWD good? Is that what you're...
GEWD
good.
Good.
We have kind of narrowed it down since they're not open on Sundays.
Yeah.
Salisbury steak or grilled chicken. And we have cake. Chocolate cake.
Ah, well, you knew the chocolate part. Yeah. The cake part was optional. As soon as you said, we've got chocolate, you know, so... Well, good. I hope you can all come and have lunch with us. And
just see me about pricing, because we're all going to pay as like one group. Guests already taken care of.
Anybody who needs to pay you. So that sounds like you've already. So there's this whole other thing you've been doing behind the scenes where you've. Oh. There's even more to their chicanery than I originally knew about. Have you ever watched The Muppet Show? You know The Muppet Show? The two guys in the balcony? They just sit in the back and make their little comments to each other. And oh, they laugh. And, yes, the two retired men making fun of the 53-year-old. Yes. But we love them like crazy. Yes.
I want to
fool them.
I want to thank Carol and Megan and Lynn for helping us with the plan.
With the chicanery. Well, I need to shut this off. Say goodbye to the internet, folks.
On behalf of everyone at Grace Christian Assembly, we thank you for listening to this week's Salvation by Grace message. Remember to visit us on the internet at www.salvationbygrace.org. And we invite you to join us next time when we gather around the Word and study the sovereign grace of God.